in a new package. An old lie in a new package. Lord bless you. May be seated. That was a subtle serpent. Everybody say that was a subtle serpent. He was sneaky. He was sly. He was deceptive. Amen, but he's a serpent. Amen. He was a snake. I wrote about a guy one time going along. He saw a snake on the ground, and he picked him up. The snake was shivered and cold, and he said, "Please pick me up. I'm so cold." And he said, "No, I won't pick you up. You're a snake." And he said, "Oh, but I'm freezing. Please." And so he picked him up, and he put him in his coat. And after a while, the serpent got warm, and he slithered up there, and he was staring right in between the eyes with a little tongue flickering out. And the snake said, "I'm going to bite you." And he said, "You promised you wouldn't bite me." He said, "You knew I was a snake when you picked me up." Mm-hmm. There's a lesson there somewhere. Amen. So the serpent was more subtle, sneaky, sly than any other beast. And he slithers to the woman. And this tells you that there wasn't any curse yet because she wasn't scared. Amen. Most people that I know, not just ladies, most people I know, see a serpent, they're going the other way. Unless it's Wesley Dickerson, he's going to catch him and put him in a sack. Amen. But most people don't like serpents. Amen. And so the serpent speaks. That was before the curse. And so the serpent begins to speak to the woman, and he said, here's the question. I want you to see how the devil works. He knows the answer to this question. It's rhetorical. He said, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree? Everybody say, every tree. Every tree of the garden. He knew the answer to that. And the woman said, well, we can eat all the trees, except for the one in the midst of the garden. You know what the devil likes to do to people? He draws your attention to the one forbidden thing. He doesn't let you see the vast array of what's right. He only draws your attention to the thing that's wrong, the thing that's forbidden, the thing that God knows will harm you. And he still works that way, doesn't he? Amen. He still draws attention to that forbidden thing without seeing all of the good. Amen. I saw a track one time, and it had this. It was just a white page, and it had a dot in the center of it. And at the bottom, it said, "What do you see?" Well, everybody says, "I see a dot." Well, that's very small compared to all the white paper that was around it. But your attention's not on all that beautiful white. Your attention's on that one little dot. And Satan still works that way. He focuses on the forbidden, doesn't he? Has it worked that way with you? Doesn't he come in your life and the things that you know you're not supposed to do, that's what he draws your attention to. It has not changed. It's still the same old lie. It's the same old lie. Now listen, first of all, he says to the woman, God said that you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it lest you die. Now, we know that she added that a little bit, when you shall not touch it. God, that's still good advice. The closer you get to sin, the greater the chances are you're going to fall. So if you don't even touch it, you're better off. God just said don't eat it, but it's a good idea not to touch it either. Amen. So even though she edited that a little bit, it was okay. It gave her more distance from sin. And listen to what the serpent said. Listen, first of all, he said, "You shall not surely die." Now, what's the difference in what the serpent said and what God said? One word. You see how subtle he is? He just added one word. Just one word. Surely that doesn't make that much difference, just one word. God said, "You shall die." And the serpent said, "You shall not surely die." So he added just a word to what God had said. And then listen to this. And boy, it makes it sound so nice. "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He made evil sound so enticing, didn't he? Doesn't that sound like God's really holding out on you? All you know is good, you poor thing. You poor blind thing. All you know is good. If you'll just eat this, you'll also know evil. Well, it was forbidden. They didn't know. Satan always makes the forbidden sound so enticing, so good, so mysterious. As if God is holding out on you. If God really loved you, He wouldn't forbid you anything. He'd let you do anything you want to do. Amen. Hey, and so that's the big lie. Amen. That you're going to be as a god. God did not create us to be gods. He created us to be human beings. Amen. And we'll always be underlings. We'll always be creatures. Yes, God has designed something much more glorious than this. In the life to come, we are going to reign with Him as kings and priests in a glorified body. And it's going to be a marvelous thing, much greater than what we have right now. But still, we will be creatures and He will be God. We will never rise and ascend to where He is, because the creature can never be greater than the Creator. And so the lie is, you're going to be as gods. Now, they did know good and evil. There's no doubt about that. That part of it was true. Amen. Anybody know something today you wish you could forget? You know what I've learned about sin is that once it's revealed and you understand its mysteries, you wish to God you could go back and forget and not know what you know now and not have experienced what you have experienced. You wish you could put the genie back in the bottle. You wish you could go back and undo what's already done and unsay what's already been said, but you can't do that. Once you know evil, you know it. And so this was the big lie. Who was right, God or Satan? Guess what? They died. Just like God said. And people have been dying ever since that day. Every breath you draw after your birth, you're one breath closer to death. Every heartbeat, you're one heartbeat closer to your last. It's just a simple fact of life. God was right. And so they found that to be very true. There are four things today. I'm talking about an old line, a new package. We live in an enlightened age. My daughter mentioned this in her introduction to her song, that our educational system is trying to do away with our foundations. And one of the things that in order to create this utopia of humanism, one thing has to happen. Number one, we have to get rid of God. And one of the tenets of humanism is atheism. The word theism means belief in God. When you put the A, the prefix in front of it, it means without belief in God. So atheism then is no belief in God. Don't believe in God. And so we just do away with God. Amen. And so we try to do that. But you know what I think is so very interesting is atheism is on the rise today. Amen. In all the major cities, they are advertising like never before, putting up big billboards and signs on buses and everywhere they can, trying to proclaim their message that there is no God. If there is no God, then why work so hard to change people's mind about Him? Amen. If there is no God, what difference does it make? Amen. Why do you, you've heard about unbaptisms, right? Recently, there was an atheist group that decided to do unbaptisms. So they took all the atheists, now atheists, that didn't believe in God anymore, and they said, we're going to unbaptize you. So they used a hairdryer to dry them out so they wouldn't be baptized anymore. Amen. Hey, if God doesn't exist, why all the trouble? Why all the fuss? Just leave him alone. If he does not exist, what's the problem anyhow? I'll tell you what the problem is. Beating in every human breast is a voice that says, there is a God. And nothing is going to drown out that voice. I heard about some people, the atheists, and they said, we're not even going to use God's name in vain anymore. Well, why not? He doesn't exist. What's the problem? We all know what the problem is. What did the Scripture say? Psalm 14:1 said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Everything about life tells us there's a God. Second tenet is evolution. If you're going to take away God, you've got to explain creation. Because everybody wants to know, how did we get here? Why are we here? What happens when we die? So, in order, we got rid of God, now we got to answer the question. Well, we evolved. Well, how does that happen? Everything has a beginning. So where did it start? Amen. Well, you know the answer to that. They taught you in school all about it. That you evolved. Let me just tell you today, I may not sound as smart as some professor, but evolution's not scientific. There's no science that proves evolution. Zero. There's manufactured facts, because evolution is not a scientific fact. Evolution is a religion. It's called humanism. It's man's attempt to do away with the Creator and accountability to a Creator. Well, the Bible answers this. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. You see, it boils down to this, folks. You either believe the Bible or you don't. There's just two camps. You either believe it or you don't. You either believe there's a God or you don't. It's just real simple, actually. But Romans 1 and 21 said, because that when they knew God, everybody said they knew God. Everybody does. They glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. You know, the thing about an atheist and the thing about an evolutionist, you don't question them. If you don't believe their theory and you don't believe their ideas, something is wrong with you. You're just ignorant, and you're stupid, and you're uneducated, and you're uncouth, and you're uncultured, and you're not erudite, and you're not... I don't know. You bumpkin, you. How old-fashioned you are. Hey, man, you just can't disagree with them. You can't have an opinion different than mine. professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. I believe in dinosaurs. But I don't believe they look like what people say they look like now. Hey, these guys are good. They can dig up one bone and make a whole dinosaur out of it and give him a name and tell you what color he was and tell you how many brains he had and tell you what he ate and tell you all about him. And they can show you his picture in a yearbook. I mean, they are smart. And don't you question them, ever. Young people, don't you ever question evolutionists. Because they're wise. If you don't believe it, just ask them. What am I saying? I am so sick and tired of people buying this baloney in the name of education. It's not education. It's brainwashing. It's trying to get you to get rid of your foundation. It just wants to shake your faith and replace your faith with some kind of nonsense. They're asking me to believe in science. Hey, I've been around long enough that science changes every day. You want me to believe in something that you change your opinion about just every other day? You told me yesterday it was a fact, and the day you said, oh, we kind of messed up there, it's like this now. Hey, I want to believe something that's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Something I've experienced for myself and found it to be true. And so evolution is a keystone here. Well, let me finish this. I got kind of sidetracked about the fool thing. Verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. And the beast, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. You ever seen an idol? They are creepy. You know what they look like? Something God created. Because human beings have no ability to imagine something that God hasn't already created. So if they're going to make an idol, it's going to look like something God has already made. And then the next thing, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness for the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Oh, we live in a day of body worship. We live in a day when people worship this human temple. Amen. You don't believe that? Amen. We even have people right now, they'll tell you what you could eat and how much of it. Yeah, that's right. I mean, they want to tell you because they're wise. They know. Amen. Well, we live in a smart world, don't we? All these smart people, you don't have to worry about anything. They've got it all figured out. They know how much money you need. They're going to take care of you from the cradle to the grave. You don't have to worry about nothing. Just relax. Give up your rights and let them take care of you. Wonderful world. Wonderful. Amen. And so this is what happens when people, you see, they toss God out. So now we've got to figure out where we come from. And guess what? We're not going anywhere. This is all there is. You live and you die. You're no different than your dog or your cat. great? This is all there is. Amen. That's why you ought to eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. And there's not anything else. This is not new. It's an old lie in a new package. It's been around forever. I told you where it started, right back there in the garden, when that serpent said, "Ye shall not surely die, but you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Amen. And then we have moral relativity. That is, there are no absolutes. You have your truth and I have my truth. But here's the fact. The fact is, you can't believe your truth. You have to believe my truth if it conflicts with my truth. Huh? Suppose there's no absolutes, but the fact of the matter is, if you don't agree with them, something is wrong with you. We're going to have to get rid of you. We can't have your kind around here, because I know there's no absolutes, but my absolute means something, yours don't. My truth means something, and your truth is irrelevant, but you better not think like you're thinking, because you're not allowed to. That's where we are, folks. Moral relativity. No absolutes, no foundation, no standards except whatever they want to invent today. No abiding standards. Amen. Because, why is that? Well, because we're all evolving. All of us, you know that we're still evolving. Aren't we so much better off than we were a few years ago? Just look around. I mean, people have done it. Everybody just looks so much smarter. I mean, you don't see people with tails anymore. Well, guess what? You never did. Amen. That was their idea. They drew the pictures. You know, you got humanity. We got the man. You know, he's tadpole, gets out in the water somehow and learns to breathe and survive and gets some lungs, and after a while, I don't worry if something along with him, he grows hair, and then he stands up and he starts dragging his knuckles on the ground and knocking women in the head and dragging them off to a cave somewhere. Beautiful picture. Yeah, we're growing up here, man. I'm telling you, that's smart, isn't it? Smart. Amen. And then they talk about a missing link. Well, yeah, there is a missing link, all right. Bunch of them. You know what? I've been around 60 years, but I've connected to people who went back a whole lot longer than that. And I have never seen, I've never seen a dat. You know what a dat is? A dat is a cross between a dog and a cat. There ain't no dats. It's either a dog or it's a cat. There ain't no dats, because there ain't no missing link. God created the species. And each after it, the Bible said, each after its kind. Amen. And that's exactly the way it's been. It's that way in animal life. It's that way in plant life. Amen. If you've got an apple, it's going to produce apples. If you've got an orange, it's going to produce oranges. Yes, we've been able to cross a little bit of that and mix stuff up. Amen. But we hadn't done that so far in the human race, have we? People are still people. Our people are people are people. There are no missing links. Amen. My explanation is better than theirs. The Bible is better than that. There is no moral relativity. That just, you know, you. I'm not saying you can't believe what you want to believe. That is your right. You have the right to be wrong if you want to. That's your privilege. Amen. God will not make you believe in Him. God will not make you believe His Word. God will not make you live the way He wants you to live. That's your decision. God gave you a will. God gave you that right. But you will pay consequences, and there will be an accounting day. And no matter what you say, you can't do away with God, and you can't do away with your creation, and you can't do away with your destiny, and you can't do away with accountability. no matter how hard you try. And then finally, amen, the new address that's on this thing is a moralism. Moralism, of course, is right living and righteousness and right things. When you put the A in front of it, it negates the whole thing. It means that there is no right. There is no right. Just what we decide is right. There are no rights, there are no wrongs. Just what we say. So if we say it's all right to kill babies in the womb, and it's okay to kill babies in the womb. You know what? If in an accident, a woman is expecting a child and that child dies in the accident, you can be charged with murder. But a person can go into a doctor, a baby that's almost ready to be born, and that doctor can drag that baby out of there and kill that child, and it's abortion. It's okay. Why is one okay and the other's not? Amoralism. We make the rules. We draw the lines. We tell you when it's right. We tell you when it's wrong. If it's to our advantage, it's right. If it's not to our advantage, it's wrong. Amoralism. We're just one step away. There are some countries already doing this. That old people, when you outlive your usefulness, you're just using up the resources. You don't need to be here anymore. You've lived your life. You've had your fun. You've done your thing. Now you're just in the way. You're taking up resources. So amoralism says, we don't have to respect your right to live. We make the rules. But you know what? One of these days, somebody else is going to be making decisions. And that these people that are making decisions today, they're going to live under that rule. That's why you've got to be nice to people. Amen. Old folks, you've got to be nice to kids. Because when you go to the restaurant, they're going to serve your food. They're going to fix it. They're going to prepare it. You better be nice. You might have something in there you didn't expect. Something you didn't want. Amen. You can be nasty now if you want to, but when you get to the hospital, one of them's going to be giving you your shot. Uh-oh. Or not. Amen. It pays to treat people right. But a moralism. There's no absolutes. There's no right and wrong. Just whatever. You know what used to be right? That doesn't matter. It's old fogey ideas. Let's get with it, man. Let's make our own rules. Right? Let's make our own rules. It's nothing new. It's happened through the centuries of time. It's the same old lie in a new package. It's the same old lie in a new package. Nothing has changed. Amen. That's to people that are deceived and people that have no foundation. Oh, it looks exciting and new and the brave frontier. No. It's just an old lie in a new package. That's all it is. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2 has some very sage advice for Christians. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hear this. And be not conformed to this world. Everybody say that with me. Be not conformed to this world. J.B. Phillips had a very interesting translation to that. He said, don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. Anybody ever feel pressure? Young people, you ever feel pressure? Amen. Old folks, you ever feel pressure? We call it peer pressure. You know what that is? That's the world trying to squeeze you into its mold. Amen. The world telling you what you should wear. The world telling you what size you ought to wear, what size you ought to be, what you ought to eat, what you ought to drink, where you ought to go, how much money you ought to have, what kind of car you ought to drive, what kind of house you should live in, what you should say and what you should not say, what you, everything, it's all there. It's a pressure, and it's trying to squeeze you into a mold. Paul knew what he was talking about. It exists then, it exists now, and there's a pressure that's going on. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Everybody say transformed. Hallelujah. By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll see, we have a choice to make here. We don't have to be squeezed. We don't have to conform. We don't have to be molded and made into the image of the world. The Bible says we can be transformed. That's a beautiful word there from the Greek. It's the word that we get our word metamorphosis from. You remember from your science class, the metamorphosis is the process that an old ugly worm goes through to become a beautiful butterfly. Now that's a transformation, isn't it? A little ugly creature that crawls around on the earth, amen, and burrows down in the earth. How many people think worms are lovely? Oh no, amen, but he weaves a cocoon in this season. Amen. And that cocoon, after its season, he's been in there. There's something going on. All the world can see is that old cocoon hanging on a limb somewhere. It doesn't look like much, but something's happening on the inside. There's a transformation that's taking place. And in its season, out of that cocoon, there comes this beautiful creature that gives flight in its wings. And it literally flies away. Paul said, that's the way Christians are. You're not to be conformed and squeezed and made into that cocoon and stay there. He said, but you need a transformation, something that's going to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And all things are passed away and all things are become new. That's what we go through. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time, your attention here today. Hey, there's an old lie going around. Whenever people try to sell you that stuff, you just tell yourself that's an old lie in a new package. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not telling anybody here we don't have to be disrespectful. We shouldn't be disrespectful. Students, you shouldn't be disrespectful. But neither do you have to swallow everything that somebody tells you. They may have credentials and they may have a degree, but that doesn't mean that what they're teaching is right. You may read it in a book written by a man with a degree, but that doesn't mean he's right either. Amen. You know how we got here? I was a child of the 60s and 70s. I remember when all this started. We had riots. Amen. People taking over universities and marching in tattered uniforms and burning the flag. Amen. Make love, not war. Do away with all rules. Amen. Oh yeah, man, let's just get rid of it all. Of course they did it. Wrote a government check while they're doing that, you know. Hard working moms and dads paying them so they could revolt. Yeah? Yeah. I remember all, that's how we got here. The hippies of the 60s are the yuppies of the day. I didn't say puppies, I said yuppies. Of today. Amen. And the ones that started the rebellion then are in our leadership capacities today. They lead our government. They lead our businesses. Some of them even lead our churches. Huh. We've come a long way, but we've come the wrong way. It's time, and thank God there are people like I'm preaching to today. Don't believe the old lie. You didn't believe it in Genesis. You don't believe it today. Amen. Praise God. I remember a song. One of the big deals back, remember this, some of you back in the 60s, 70s, remember that thing you say, "Oh, God is dead." Well, somebody wrote a beautiful song, said, "If God is dead, who's this living in my soul?" People that have the Lord never believe that. That foundation they say doesn't exist, we're still standing on it. It's the same one the church has been standing on 2,000 years, and guess what? We're still here. And we're going to be here till the rapture. I said, we're going to be here till the rapture. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's an old lie in a new package. Praise the Lord. Why don't we look to the Lord right now and give Him thanks for truth and righteousness? God, I thank You for the foundation. You said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we're still standing 2,000 years through flood and fire and persecution. Everything the world could hurl at it, everything the devil could throw at it. Amen. Not only is the church standing, but it's thriving today. It's more numerous, it's more vibrant, more powerful than it's ever been in history. Your church is still marching on. We're still having miracles every day. We're still seeing healings. Amen. We're still seeing folks saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Your name, sins washed away, lives transformed. The miracle still marches on. Nothing has changed. Thank God for the church. Thank God for truth. Thank God for righteousness. Thank God for a standard of life. Amen. That elevates not only an individual, not only a family, not only a community, but will exalt a nation and exalt the world. Thank You, God, for truth that lifts men everywhere they are, no matter how low the condition they're found in. Truth always elevates. Praise God. And this truth always saves. It brings peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Thank You, Lord, for truth today. I'm going to buy into this and never sell it and never let it go. I don't want to believe the lie. Save us, O God. Keep us in this hour when there's so much on so many sides, so many voices preaching falsehood. Help us to hear that certain sound of truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching. Folks, it's still marching on. Hallelujah. Heaven knows the tally. You know, it's already dark on the other side of the earth. They've already had their Sunday. And I promise you, heaven's book recorded thousands of new names before the sun went down over there. Hallelujah. There were folks that came in here sick that were healed on the other side. Amen. Now, we're just getting into ours. We're concluding the Sunday morning service. We still got Sunday night to go. We still got Canton to go today. Only God knows what's going to happen here in the next few hours. Amen. But I'm promising you one thing. Truth is still marching on. There are people that walked out of darkness today, and they walked into His marvelous light. There are people that cast off the shackles of their fear, and they have learned to walk in the liberty of truth. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the truth today. Aren't you glad you know this? Don't believe that old lie. Embrace the truth. Love it. Live it. Amen. It's worth it. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'll see you at 1:20 if you can go with us to Canton. And if you can't, I'll see you this evening at 6. God bless you in Jesus' name.